This is A Couple Cooks Small Bites, bite-sized food for thought. I'm Sonia Overheiser.
And I'm Alex Overheiser. We're the podcast that pairs small bites of food with short-form interviews to inspire you in less than 20 minutes.
You can go to our website, acouplecooks.com, for hundreds of recipes, healthy living inspiration, and our cookbook, Pretty Simple Cooking. Today on the show, a pair of diet experts weigh in on the best way to eat and bust up a few infamous food myths. Hey, welcome to Small Bites.
Hey, we're so excited about our show today because we have two guests and they're both experts on nutrition. They're registered dietitians, Wendy and Jess.
And they are located across the country from each other, one in New York, one in California. We called them up to talk about some evidence-based nutritional advice, from food myths to how to get practical with meal planning.
But before we talk to them, let's go ahead and dive into our small bite today.
Yeah, this smells so good. Alex, you made this earlier, and what I'm looking at looks like potato chips, but they look purple.
Yeah, you basically just explained the recipe. I took some purple potatoes, I sliced them up, and I fried them lightly in olive oil.
So why did you choose this for today's small bite?
This potato recipe actually comes from Wendy and Jess's website, Food Heaven Made Easy. And what I like about it is they kind of talk about how we like to, as a culture, vilify ingredients like potatoes, especially fried potatoes. But really, a potato is a vegetable. It's full of nutrients, and it's a good thing to incorporate into your diet.
And there's no way this can't taste good. Let me take a bite.
So fried potatoes, what do you think?
That is so good. It's a little bit soft, but still pretty crispy on the outside. Salty. It's like my perfect snack.
It's really the perfect small bite. There's a reason why potato chips are so popular, I think.
And they're even better when they're homemade in your own kitchen.
Absolutely.
So should we call Wendy and Jess?
Let's do it.
Jessica Jones and Wendy Lopez are both nationally renowned registered dietitians and certified diabetes educators. They have a passion for helping people transform the way they eat and make peace with food. Together, they founded the healthy living website, Food Heaven Made Easy, where they provide evidence-based nutrition tips and tricks for living a nutritious life. When they are not counseling patients on nutrition therapy, the two co-host the Food Heaven podcast. Wendy and Jess, welcome to Small Bites.
We're so excited to be here.
So we've got Wendy in New York and Jess in California. You guys are both registered dietitians. And I know you, Wendy, that your career path grew out of some health issues that you had personally and you also saw in your community. Can you tell us a bit about that story?
Sure. So when I went into college, I was pretty much hooked on college food. I had grown up eating, I think, what was a pretty balanced plate. I wasn't incorporating many vegetables, but my family was always big on eating whole foods. And then when I went to college and I was living in college for 4 years, like it was just like so much processed food. Day in and day out, absolutely no vegetables. And I was in chronic pain all of the time. And in my head, I kind of just normalized it. And then after a few years, it really caught up with me. And I was in a lot of pain. I was having like really bad gastrointestinal complications. And my family was really concerned. So when I transitioned out of college, me and my mom kind of did an intervention. And it was really just incorporating more whole foods. It was as simple as that. But in my head, like just eating this way for a few years, I had just adapted to that. And so immediately, once I started adding more whole foods back into my plate, I immediately felt better. The symptoms were resolving. I didn't have to do a lot of like the treatments that were recommended to me by doctors. And so that was really inspiring for me just to kind of see how quickly things turned around for me as soon as I changed the way that I was eating. And so then I met Jess along the way. And she was going to school for nutrition, and nutrition was something that I was always interested in, not only because of my experience, but I had a lot of family members with chronic conditions like high blood pressure, high cholesterol. And so I'm like, oh, this would be really cool. Like this would be good information for me to have for people in my community. And so then we started working together at a farmer's market here in New York City in the Bronx, just doing like education and cooking demonstrations. And so through that, Food Heaven Made Easy was born, which is our business and our brand.
That's amazing that your first thought and your mom's first thought was, let's try to reverse this with food instead of medicine, like so many doctors are prescribing. And that it was such a quick turnaround for you. That's pretty amazing. Jess, do you also have a story about health issues in this way?
Not necessarily in the exact same way. For me, it was just, you know, figuring out what worked best for me, like on a personal level. And I think as dietitians, that's what we try to help people figure out, like what foods actually make you feel your best, but also allow you to have pleasure within those foods and, you know, have a life that you love that doesn't feel restrictive. So for me, it was more finding that balance and kind of honoring what it was that my body was telling me about, like, you know, which foods made me feel my best. So for example, I never liked meat growing up ever, even as a kid. And, you know, I grew up in one of those families where it's like you kind of clean your plate and you eat everything off the plate. And so I always had a really hard time with that because my family is a family of carnivores and like they love chicken and tri-tip and all those things. And I'm like, I just hate it. And so when I was 12, I actually, you know, learned what, you know, being more a vegetarian was and decided that I didn't really want to eat meat anymore. And never looked, but told my family and never looked back. And I feel like that was really something that for me made me more excited to eat, made me feel more balanced, made me feel more energized. So it's like trying to figure out what that is for everybody on an individual level.
So as you're working with clients, I'm sure that people are constantly asking you what the best diet is. How do you work with them to figure out the best way for them to eat?
That's a great question. So I think that, again, it's easy for people to give a one-size-fits-all prescription that's supposed to work for everybody, but I just don't think that that's the case. And I think there's so many people, like, for example, I personally don't like meat, but so many people love meat and can eat meat as part of a balanced diet. So when it comes to just general, you know, ways I like people to think about food, it's really focusing on trying to incorporate plants and not necessarily meaning that, you know, you have to be vegan or anything like that. When I say plant-based, I really mean like the majority of your diet includes plant foods, things that grow from the ground naturally. So thinking about fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, beans, legumes, whole grains, all of those things are going to provide you with the vitamins and minerals that you need to function optimally. Also fiber, healthy carbohydrates, protein. So you're getting so much from those foods. So really focusing on incorporating those into your plate. And then of course, we are big proponents of eating a diet that is balanced and includes a balance of eating for pleasure, but also for energy. So thinking about it in terms of all foods fit. So if you're somebody, again, who loves dairy and cheese, eliminating that from your diet and having a vegan diet probably would never work for you. And so you can have that cheese within the context of a healthy, balanced diet. And really, I think the goal for people is to have that good relationship with food and with your body. So you are really in tune with what your body's telling you on a day-by-day basis when it comes to what foods are going to help you feel your best, both mentally and physically.
I think that's something that Alex and I found as we started to explore what it meant to eat more plants. And what we love about your philosophy too is that bringing in that pleasure element and bringing in that fun element, I think there is kind of an old school way of thinking about eating more vegetables, which seems very boring and food pyramid oriented. And you guys are all about making it fun and your food looks amazing. And the way that you talk about it just makes people want to eat it. And we are those type of people that would be keeping that cheese in our diet. Right. So we're glad that we're all on the same page here.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm like a cheese lover till the day I die. And I remember one time trying to eliminate cheese because I thought that it wasn't good for me. I thought that, and this was before I was a dietitian and I actually looked at the science, and I was miserable. I was like binging on cheese after weeks of restricting it. And so that's why it's really important, I think, to approach food not just from a nutrition perspective, but also from a pleasure perspective, like you said. And even with nutrition, there's just so many misconceptions about food and about what is good for you and what is bad for you. And a lot of people don't look at the science and don't look at the research. And so I think that, yeah, a lot of people are just really confused about what they should be eating for good health because of social media and the internet. And it's like everyone has an opinion about what you should be eating. And a lot of these people don't necessarily have the credentials to talk about nutrition and to talk about health.
And speaking of that, we have a few food myths that we wanted to talk about with you guys and have you debunk them if they are myths. So Wendy, let's start with you. How about this one? Carbs are evil.
This is one of, this is one of like the most annoying food myths that we come across all the time. People don't take into account, like when thinking about carbs, I think a lot of people associate carbs with like wheat and pastries, and they don't take into account that carbs consist of beans, they consist of fruits, they consist of starchy vegetables. And so when eliminating carbs, you're really eliminating a huge amount of food from your diet. And so many of these foods are nutrient dense. They're delicious. They offer so many benefits. And so I don't know where this comes from. I mean, we come across it all the time. And I do think that it's probably grounded in like this whole like wheat is bad for you and like all, you know, refined wheat and bread and all the gluten phenomenon too, which is like a completely different topic. But yeah, carbs are great. They're delicious. They're packed with nutrition. And I have found that it's just really hard for people to eliminate carbs, even if they wanted to. It's just like, it's very hard because you're eliminating so much food.
All right, Jess, let's give you one. How about a detox diet will make me healthy?
This is something that I get all the time as well, because I also see patients on a one-on-one basis for nutrition counseling. So my answer is always that the body is nature's free detoxification tool. So a healthy body will detox itself, and you have all of these different detoxification pathways working together, like your lungs, your liver, your kidneys, your GI tract, that's really helping to break down, you know, some of those byproducts of metabolism that may be like quote unquote toxic and help you get rid of that in the body. So I like to tell people that what you really want to do is not do a detox diet, but do a diet that's going to support your body's natural detoxification process. So that would be, again, like having a diet that included a lot of plants and whole grains and nuts and seeds, like we said, because those are naturally going to be high in fiber. And fiber is, you know, something that can help to strengthen the GI tract, which helps to move things along and helps you get rid of the things that you don't need. And you know, a lot of times people think that they have to be in this place of restriction and like just having these juice cleanses or these water fasts. But again, like what you want to do is actually strengthen your colon and strengthen your body's natural pathways. And so you're not going to do that by just eliminating all foods. And usually people, right? Like usually people come in, they're like, oh, well, I know, you know, I did this detox diet and I felt the toxins leaving my body and I felt like crap and I was so tired. And it's really just, you felt like crap because you weren't eating anything and you were tired because you didn't have energy from the, you know, from food because you're just drinking juice. You know what I mean? So, and I get it because it's like, those things are sold to us by, you know, the diet industry that we need all of these things, but really our body is going to do a great job as long as we help to support it and trying to have, you know, a nourishing, balanced diet and also staying hydrated.
I love hearing that. And I know it's not quite as like sexy of a concept, right? To just eat a balanced diet. People want something that feels glamorous, and a detox diet can sometimes feel glamorous.
Like, and I tell people like, I could get rich if I just told you what you wanted to hear, but I'm not going to, like, ethically, I can't do that. You know, I can't just give you like this diet plan because it's not going to be based on your preferences, your culture, what you like, what's available to you. So we have to work together to come up with what you think is going to be best based on like the information of which foods are nourishing and healthy and balancing those in a way where you're not feeling restricted and that you can only eat like this narrow amount of foods.
All right. So let's say I've bought into this concept that we should eat a little bit more practically and sustainably. What are some of your tips for meal planning?
So I would say for meal planning, start off by having a plan. That's number one. So you want to figure out.
Plan for your meal plan.
Yeah, you want to have a plan. So typically, I know Jess has a similar routine, just picking a day to brainstorm. Okay, what am I going to make for the week? And sometimes it just takes like 10 minutes for me to do this, like while I'm taking a lunch break, just kind of figuring out, okay, what are going to be the meals that I'm going to be preparing, and then setting aside some time to buy everything that you need. So I think just really having like a process in place that is very streamlined and that you're able to replicate each and every single week. So it's not a burden. It's just part, just like you wake up and you brush your teeth. Like this is just something that you do as part of your routine. So going shopping, make sure that you have everything in place so that it's really easy for you to do. And also with meal planning, just trying to make sure that the meals that you're preparing are balanced so that you feel satiated throughout the day and you're not left feeling hungry and then you're going to want to eat out and kind of like buy snacks in between. And a method that Jess and I like to use, it's called the MyPlate method, where it's a visual representation of a balanced plate. So half plate non-starchy vegetables, a quarter plate carbohydrate, whether that's your grains or your beans or whatever carbohydrate you enjoy, and then a quarter plate protein. So just keeping that in mind when brainstorming your meals for the week.
Jess, did you have any other tips on meal planning for us?
I mean, I think Wendy kind of summed it up, but I always tell people as well, when you're thinking about the meals that you're planning, you want to make sure that you're planning meals you actually get excited about, because a lot of times people will meal prep these meals and then when it comes down to it, they don't feel like eating them and then they just want to call Grubhub or whatever it is, Uber Eats, to have something delivered. And I think, you know, it's good to think about meals in terms of like on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being this is the most exciting meal you've ever had in your life, and 1 being this is like cardboard and you're just eating it because you have to. Like, try to prep meals that are 6 and above to you, you know, in terms of like you're going to feel like this is something you actually want to eat. That might mean adding more fat, adding more olive oil, adding more avocado, adding more flavor, adding more texture. But, you know, you really want to think about the satisfaction component when you are doing your meal planning.
Okay. Last question for both of you. What would be one of those exciting meals? Give me one example of like top level exciting meal for each one of you. Jess?
Ooh, I mean, there's so many. So I like things that are really quick. So my favorite thing that I've been doing recently for the past like several months is I have a pressure cooker. So I will cook something and I kind of rotate between, you know, maybe a Mexican inspired dish. Like this week I did a chili mac and cheese that was really good that included some vegetables. Yum. So just things like that. I like a hearty kind of one pot simple dish that definitely has fat and definitely has protein and carbohydrates as well.
You had me at mac and cheese. How about you, Wendy?
Just yesterday I made rice noodles. They're literally ready in like 5 minutes. That's why I love them. And I had it with broccoli, saute with garlic, and salmon. Like super simple and like really balanced and delicious.
Okay, my stomach is growling over here.
So it's like, oh my God, is it lunchtime?
Thank you so much for joining us today. We just love your philosophy and the way that you make eating well accessible and fun and exciting. Oh, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us. This was super fun.
So much good advice in that interview, but I think my favorite was just that in order to have some good meal planning, you have to take some time to plan your meals.
Which sounds funny, but as much as we cook, Alex, we sometimes forget to plan and we just do things last minute. It's such great advice, and I'm glad to have a little kick in the pants for us too.
Absolutely.
Now, if you'd like to follow along more with Wendy and Jess, the best place is their podcast. It's called The Food Heaven Show. You can find everything over on their website, foodheavenmadeeasy.com, and you can follow them on Instagram at Food Heaven Show.
And don't forget to follow along with us at A Couple Cooks on Instagram and acouplecooks.com for hundreds of delicious recipes.
Thanks for listening to Small Bites. We'll talk to you next time.